The words of the psalmist ring through my head. Oh, that today you would listen to the word of God and not harden your hearts. I think that should be sung every Sunday morning. Oh, that today you would listen to the word of God and not harden your hearts. It's specifically important today. This is exactly what's happening to the woman who Jesus meets at the well. He is calling her to hearken to his words. And in the process, she discovers so many things about herself and about the gift of life that can come from Jesus. It literally transforms her life. And then Jesus leaves a gift that is unimaginable. Here's what happens. Jesus walks into Sychar, a town we don't hear about all that often, but it's not very far from the mountain where the former temple of the Samaritans was constructed. And it was a place where Jacob had made a very profound well, 75 to 100 feet deep, hewn through rock and stone. And it was there that he and his sons watered the flocks of sheep and goats that they brought there for, and continued to do so for centuries that followed. It was a wonderful place. I would imagine that if you were in Jesus' day, to imagine back of a fountain or a well that was there for that long, just unbelievable. And while he is there, tired from his journey, it is now midday, hotter than Hades at this time of year. A woman comes to the well. That right there should tell you something. A woman coming to the well at midday, at noon, hottest day of the day, of the time of the day. What in the world is she coming for? And Jesus then poses a question to her, or a plea. Give me something to drink. Her response is in awe, because why would you come to me and ask a Samaritan woman to give you something to drink? We know the story between the Samaritans and the Jews. They didn't like each other at all. We read in the history of the Jewish people that as they tried to rebuild the city, the Samaritans were ever coming, trying to destroy it. They didn't appreciate that city being rebuilt. They didn't like it. And they saw themselves, in essence, as the enemies of the Jews and did everything they could to try to stop that process. And it got so bad that by the intertestamental period, when the Hasmoneans finally overthrew the Hellenists and they established the kingdom once again as they thought David would want them to do, free at last from outside control, they gathered an army, went down the road to Shechem in the midst of the Samaritans and destroyed their temple. One good turn deserves another, they felt. And so the hatred developed between them is unbelievable. And we know from past sermons that I preached here that in the text of the Old Testament, you are to hate your enemies. And that's what the Jews did with the Samaritans, and likewise, I am sure. So the fact that Jesus is even talking to a Samaritan, much less a woman, which was against the rules of his day. Unless they were a member of your family, you did not talk to strange women. You didn't do it. Something we probably would appreciate today, would we not? Leave strange women alone. Let them do their own thing. And in their day, that is exactly what took place. And here is Jesus now addressing her and asking for water. And she's flabbergasted. And so a long dialogue ensues during this time in which he asks for water. She says, why are you asking for me? He says, well, if you knew who I was, then you would ask for this incredible water, this living water. And she says, give me some of that because I'm tired of coming here all the time at noon. Remember, she's coming at noon to receive water. Drives me crazy. Give me some of that eternal stuff that would help me from not having to come here all the time. The conversation goes on. He says, go find your husbands. And she says, I don't have a husband. He says, that's true. You actually at one time had five husbands. And the one you're with now is your husband. I was told by the bishop of our church, of our synod, who's a profound theologian, a remarkable individual, who gathered together a bunch of us to talk about Lenten texts. And he says, do you realize that the root word for husband is the same as it is for the word gods? And that it is difficult to determine, according to the text that we have, whether he's actually referring, from the Hebrew text anyway, is actually referring to gods or husbands. Let's just take his example and say, actually talking about gods. This woman can't seem to concentrate on any particular faith. She is bouncing around like a ping ball machine in every direction. She has a god over there, like that one. No, don't want to do. Let's try that one over there. Try that for a little bit. Nope, that's no good. I'm going to try that one a little bit. She was culturally very Samaritan because the Samaritan history is one who bounced around, finding gods in all orders and falling away often from the God who led the people of Israel out of slavery to the freedom of the promised land. And that the God she was now following, Jesus could recognize as saying, and you're not going to stay long with that one either, because in it there is nothing on which you can base your faith. So she's going to either be talking about gods, could actually be talking about husbands. And one of the reasons that she's coming to the well is because maybe she is someone who doesn't have the same sense of respect within the community of faith that other women might have. And so we don't go in the morning when all the other women who are looking for water would go early in the morning when the temperature is a lot better and where the well became a place where women would gather to not just look for water, but it became a social event in which we talked about generally other people. And she did not want to be the source of discussion at the well every God-forsaken day. So she came at noon when no one else was there, she thought, except for Jesus. The conversation went on and on until finally she recognizes that Jesus has just seen the very essence of her life. That Jesus, through the conversations and questions that were posed, she literally opened her life to him. And face to face now with the Son of God, she recognized that this man literally has seen her whole life flash before him. Her response then, as she saw disciples beginning to come, was to do what we least expected. She came to look for water. She leaves her water jar, runs off to speak to the very ones who she distrusted for fear they might talk about her. She goes back to those people and says, I just met a man. I'm going to translate this in my own way. I just met a man who knows every wrinkle and corner of my life. He can't be the Son of Man, can he? Can't be the Son of God, can he? In the season of Lent, this is what we're doing. This is what God calls us to do. The season of Lent is a time in which we train our senses. We train our hearts, our hands, our eyes, our brain, our ears, our mouths, our feet, to learn to discern and hear the Word of God, to respond, to accept the Word of God. This is what is happening in the life of this woman at the well, as God's word is opened to her and she reveals her whole life to this man who stands in her midst. This is what we do at Lent. It is a time in which God meets us through Jesus at our own well, at our well of baptism, where we receive promises and claims, where God boldly said, "You are now my son or daughter. And I am committed to you from now to eternity." We gather at that well to be reminded of eternal life, to be reminded of that eternal gift of God's word. And we open our lives to that same Son of God. He poses questions at the well. He wants to know the intimate things of your life. He asks questions about, what are you hiding? What are the walls that you're blocking, trying to block from me? What's in the dark corners of your life that needs to come to light? What are the things that bring great sadness to your life that you wish to share but cannot? What are the things that have happened to you that you would just as soon no one else find out that brings you pain and sorrow, a loss of some kind, a tragedy, some event in your life that you would just as soon no one know about? Yet when we stand at the well with Jesus, he comes face to face with us and he poses the questions in such a way that he wants us to open up so that he can see and shine his light into those dark corners and that we can clearly name them for what they are: the pains, the sorrows, and the frustrations of our lives. And then God, through Jesus, does something incredible. And it's portrayed in our text. For when he sees the life of this woman before him, all he does was stand before her face to face and offer her the greatest gift of all. He doesn't run. He isn't miffed. He isn't surprised by what he hears. He doesn't cover his ears making noises, la, 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 like he doesn't want to hear what's taking place because he's ashamed of what he sees. He stands face to face with her and offers her eternal life, eternal grace, presence of his word forever. And when we go during the season of Lent to our fountain, to our well, to our living well of God's word, and we allow God to peer into the dark corners of our lives, when we break down those walls, when we name the sorrows, the frustrations, and the guilt of our own life, Jesus does the same. He does not run off, but rather hugs us and brings us ever closer, reminding us again of his great love and that eternal water of his word that abides with us forever. Take this time. It's a serious time. It's a time in which we sing that song, oh, today may we hear and listen to the word of God as he poses questions in our lives about the dark corners and the secrets that we have tried to hide for so long. Let us allow him to see them. Allow him to name them, because in it, there is in the life of that woman and can be in ours as well, true freedom when we allow the slaves to be unchained within us and for God to see us for who we are. And in the process, he gives us the greatest gift of all. Nothing shall separate us from the love of God in Christ Jesus our Lord. And lo, I am with you always, even to the ends of the earth. Amen.